You're listening to the Salon Owners Collective podcast, where each week we share stories and expertise from business owners like you, plus experts, influencers, and Larissa's actionable steps that will transform your business and your life. And now your host, Larissa McLemon.
Hi, how are you? When I first started the Salon Owners Collective, my first coaching program was called Build a Business with Intention, 100 Days to Build a Business with Intention. And it was influenced by Julia's Business Bakery, her 100 Day Goal Program, which I subscribe to. And it's based on the premise that 100 days is the perfect amount of time to set new goals and achieve change. Now my program is called the Freedom and Profit Mastermind. But anyway, I felt like Julia's wisdom would serve you well, and so I've invited her to speak with you today. Julia, thank you so much for joining me on the Salon Owners Collective podcast. I'm super pleased to have you.
Oh, it's such a pleasure to be here.
Now, you're the founder of the Business Bakery and the 100 Day Goal. Let's start by telling us a little bit about what is the Business Bakery and how did you come about to put it into place?
Okay, so the Business Bakery has been going for about 8 or 9 years. Before that, I was a partner in a big accounting consulting firm. And while I was working there, I started to do a TV show here in Australia called Koshy's Business Builders. And I met lots and lots and lots of micro businesses that were really, you know, struggling with making money from their businesses. And, you know, given this was sort of, you know, 8, 9, 10 years ago, there wasn't actually very much online for helping very small businesses grow and make a profit. I mean, I was very much focused on the making a profit part of it, because we've got to make some money to be able to continue in business. And so I left my sort of big job to set up the Business Bakery. And, you know, like all businesses, it took a little while to get to the place where I wanted it to get to.
Yeah.
And, you know, and over that time, actually, there's an awful lot more resources now for micro businesses. But our focus was very much on, you know, sole businesses or businesses with one or two employees who, you know, just who need to make, you know, just a good income from a business. There's so much online, I think, about, you know, being a startup and, you know, being a big entrepreneur and having a big, massive business. And, you know, really the engine room of all of our economies and, you know, the vast majority of people, you know, have small businesses, which they want them to provide them with, you know, just like a good income, like the sort of, you know, work that you do as well. It's about, you know, providing a good income and a lifestyle for people. And so that's what the Business Bakery does.
Very good.
I might segue though and tell you about the 100 Day Goal, because that's the big thing that I do, which came from that. So, you know, like all good businesses, there are certain things that I've done which I thought would be absolutely fantastic and they haven't really taken off. And then there's other things that I've done on a bit of a whim and they've taken off, you know, exponentially. And the 100 Day Goal was one of these. It's a process, and I can talk a bit about that later, but it's a sort of a little system which I've always used really to sort of cut through the day to day and get things done and work towards my goals. And a few years ago now, probably about 3 and a bit years ago, I was actually giving a talk, you know, to a conference of small businesses. And the person who'd come to do the wrap up of the talk hadn't turned up. She was sick and she couldn't make it. And so I'd already done my talk. I've done a talk on pricing actually, but the conference organizer asked if I'd just do a little wrap up at the end of the conference. And I just couldn't think what to talk about. You know, I could talk about lots of things, as you'll notice, but in that moment, I just went a bit like, oh, what am I talking about? And as I got on a stage to do a big sort of rah-rah at the end, it just popped into my head that it was 100 days until Christmas Eve. And how I worked that out in my head, I don't know. And because I've always worked with 100 day goals myself to grow my business and actually to on some personal things as well, I've written a book using it, all sorts of things. I thought, oh, I'll talk a bit about how to do a 100 day goal. And, you know, it was one of those sort of little moments when everything comes together. People absolutely loved it. They asked me how they could do a 100 day goal. And so I said, well, let's do one together. And so we all set off to do the very first 100 day goal together. And now we've had well over 100,000 people do the 100 day goal. So it's something that has just taken off. And so that is a little bit of, so that's probably my major focus now with the Business Bakery is the 100 day goal.
Well, it's certainly how I found you. I came across you online and enrolled in the 100-day goal. And I just loved the process of being organized, having a bit of accountability, you know, something to check in with. So this really is the reason that I wanted to bring you onto the show, because I think it is so useful. And it's 87 days till Christmas, by the way.
It's not long. I like how you work that out.
Sort of drop that in there. And it won't be too far off this by the time this show goes live. So with that in mind, 87 days till Christmas, let's talk about some of the key things to make goal setting work, or to make you do the work even.
Let me tell you
some of your tips.
I will. So the first thing is, you know, there's lots of things that we sort of, big important things that we sort of want to do with our businesses, but we tend not to get round to them because they are hard, they take a lot of brain power, and we are so busy on everything else that we put the other things in as a priority. So you might have heard of something called an Eisenhower box. And basically, this sort of, you know, box talks about things that are important or not important and things that are urgent or not urgent. And what we spend our whole sort of lives doing are things that are important or urgent. So either the important and urgent type things, or just the urgent things. And urgent things can be, you know, needing to go to the post office or pick someone up from school or whatever, and they, you know, make the dinner. There's all sorts of urgent things. There's lots of things that you know, that we just love doing, like Facebook and that sort of stuff. And then there's things that are sort of not urgent or not important. And there are things that are, you know, you can have things that aren't important, but they're urgent, and they can often be things for other people. You know how often somebody asks you to do something, you sort of feel like you have to do that, and you can get sucked in, and you're doing all these things which really, you know, weren't on your agenda. But what happens with our days is that we spend all our time doing these things. You know, we're doing the very important stuff that's in our business for the day-to-day stuff. We're helping other people and doing all that. We're having a little bit of fun too. But we tend not to be able to find the space to do the big things. And the point of the 100-day goal is to think about, what are the big things that I'm not doing? And with that, with one of those themes, for example, maybe it's growing my business in some way, making that into a goal of 100 days. And there's a reason for 100 days. And 100 days is super, super, super important. And it's because of the way that our brains work. And, you know, basically the human brain is very hopeless at goals of more than 100 days. You know, when we, New Year's Day, you know, we set our goals for the year or whatever, and our brain just thinks, oh yeah, I've got all the time in the world to do this, I'm not going to start today. Or yeah, even if you start today, you don't start tomorrow. So it's way, way, way too long. And the longest period you can actually give your brain is 100 days. It understands 100 days, doesn't understand anything longer than that. But on the flip side of that, especially in business, if we try to make these goals too small, like, you know, 30 days or whatever, 30 days are great for doing little things, and continuing things, but they're not good for when you want to make change, because change takes time for you to see the results. And if you're doing something like, let's say you've got an initiative to get more customers, you know, you're unlikely to, you know, have the initiative, do the initiative and get the results within those 30 days. And so what you find is a bit disappointing, because you put all that effort in and nothing's come out. Yeah. And so the beauty of 100 days is you can put the effort in and you get to see the results within the 100 days. Yeah. So 100 days is the most important part. It's got to be 100 days. And then it's about thinking, well, are these big things that I've got on, are these big things that I want to do, what do I think I could achieve? You know, where can I set that goal for 100 days? Because obviously it's a bigger journey than that. You know, it might be, you might want to continue doing this thing for a year or 2 years, but what can I achieve after 100 days? And a very interesting tip about this, and it's works for all goals, is getting the tension right between setting something which is, you know, very aspirational and not reaching it, or setting something that's too easy. And so what I get people to do is do something what I call good, great, awesome goals. And whatever, so you want a goal that you can measure. So let's just say, I'm just for argument's sake, I'm going to use a number. I want to make 100 sales in 100 days. And I think that's achievable. So I'd set that as my good goal. And then I'm going to push it up a little bit and make that 110 sales. And that'll be my great goal. And then I'm going to go way out there and think, oh, wouldn't it be just unbelievable if I could do 150 sales and make that my awesome goal? And you actually write those things down. Now, what you do is you write down all those goals, but you put them in a piece of, you know, an envelope or something, hide them in a drawer, and you write down your good goal and your great goal and put them in a drawer. And then what you do is you work towards your awesome goal. That is the out there goal. Now, the reason that you do this is that our brains, you know, have got a lot to answer for. Our brains basically put a limit on what they're going to let you achieve. So if you set a goal for 150, you won't do more than 150. Our brain doesn't want to waste effort in overachieving. Our brain wants to come in right on. It's so true. It's bizarre this, but it wants to come in right on what you set. The brain is very busy. So it doesn't want to do something that's too, it doesn't want to overdo it. And the trouble is though, the brain doesn't sort of think, oh yes, but what if, you know, something happens? And so it thinks, yes, I've set a goal for 150. I'm going to hit 150, all good. But it doesn't think, oh, look, maybe you're sick or something happens to one of your kids or something happens in the business or whatever. So it doesn't put any contingencies in there. So you're likely to come in a little bit under. But this is the thing. You set your goal for 100 days. You set it at the awesome goal. After 100 days, you probably haven't quite hit that awesome goal. You really tried, but you haven't hit 150. And you might think, oh, God, I'm a little bit sort of disappointed. I didn't fit 150. I got 130. And then you go back to your drawer and you open up what you originally said is your goal, your good goal and your great goal. And you are likely to see that you came somewhere between your great goal and your awesome goal. And so, in fact, that you did achieve what you actually wanted to achieve at the beginning. So it's a little mind trick.
I really love that. And I love that. And I've experienced exactly this many times over in my life. And so I'm a true advocate, can't even speak now, for that. I think that's really great. And I love that you talk about the brain as it's a separate entity from oneself, because I also subscribe to that idea because it tends to subconsciously do its own thing, doesn't it?
It does. It absolutely does. And it's so interesting because once you know about that, it sort of explains some things which you can feel quite frustrated about yourself, thinking, I thought I was in charge here, you know? Yeah. But our subconsciouses, if you sort of look at our whole brain, I think our subconscious brain is something like 90% of the brain, and we only use our conscious brain, I think, 10%. And so much stuff is going on there without us being in control of it. And when you know how it works, then you can tap into it and you can make it work for you. But otherwise, I sort of think it's a little bit like having a puppy or something. It just goes off on its own track.
It does. And I love the fact that actually once you're aware of that and you can step in and sort of control that conscious part, you can go back and sort of try to manage the subconscious part a little bit and gain a little bit of control back about actually achieving and doing things that you wanted to
do.
Despite yourself.
And there's so many interesting things which makes sense once you know about it. For instance, there's this thing in the brain called the reticular activating system. And what that does is basically it shuts out 99.9% of the information the brain gets, because the brain can't process all that stuff.
Yeah.
But if you can trigger it to make it know that something's important, it lets it through. And you see this a lot in, for instance, cast your mind back to when you were first pregnant. All of a sudden you look around, everybody's pregnant, the whole world is pregnant. You never saw all these pregnant ladies before, and now everyone is pregnant. And that's a reticular activation system working. Yeah. It shut pregnant women out before, but now it thinks, oh, look, pregnant women are important, so I'm going to let it in. The same if you buy a new car, and all of a sudden everyone else has got the same car, all that sort of stuff. And you can switch it on for actually working on things to your goal, because if you tell your brain that this goal is important to you, like it's really, really important that I make 150 sales, that switches on this reticular activating system. And so your brain, your subconscious brain, starts looking for opportunities. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you're thinking, wow, all this stuff, you know, all of a sudden I can see all these opportunities. Well, it's because the brain had closed itself off to the opportunities before, because it had too much going on. But now that it knows it's important to you, it opens up to those opportunities. So they're very there's a lot of science behind some things which you might think are fluff, like, for instance, you know, affirmations, repeating your goals over to yourself over and over again. They're not fluff. They're actually breaking the wall down between your conscious brain and your subconscious brain and making your subconscious brain work for you. So there you have it.
Oh, good stuff. I love it. Yeah. it is good stuff. Okay, so we've set our 100-day goal. What's next?
Okay, so then the really powerful thing about doing a 100-day goal is to do something small towards your goal every single day. Now, I have got, you know, countless stories of people who will, you know, attest that this is the real difference. You know, what happens is, often with big projects is we don't do anything for a long time, and then we have, like, you know, a big day on a Sunday when we just do everything, and then we don't do everything again for a while, and it always feels overwhelming and we lose our rhythm. There's a real magic to doing a small thing every single day, and it a small thing that gets you towards your goal. So what I talk about is something called a micro action. So an action is a task that gets you towards your goal. And in other words, you know, if you do this thing, you should, you know, be able to see make progress towards your goal. Like, so if you should be able to make a sale, for instance, if it's about a sales goal. And this is really, really important because we actually spend a lot of our time in what's called motion. Emotion is all that other stuff that we do. Emotion makes us feel good. You know, it's sort of, oh, I tidied my desk and I got organized and put my planner up and I've diarized all my calendar or whatever the things are. Or I've, you know, posted lots of nice pictures with no call to action on Instagram or whatever those things are. I've done all that. So I throw that one in there. Yeah, I've done all those things. And they're all really great things to do, and they feel fun and everything, but they don't actually move you towards your goal. And what we find is that the reason we're not getting the success that we want is because we're not actually taking the real pointy end steps towards the goal. So, you know, for instance, if you took a something like a sales goal, if every single day you actually did one thing to really properly find a new customer, someone that should convert into a new customer, you'd be surprised at how quickly you get lots of new customers. But we tend to do things that often feels quite hard. So we tend to do things that feel safe. Feeling safe is, you know, the social media things and, oh, you know, setting up plans for staff and, preparing to get ready to do the action rather than doing the action.
Planning for the plan.
Yes, we do all that. And so what the thing about 100-day goal is every day you have to do at least one micro action, and a micro action might only take 15 minutes. So you only have to do 15 minutes a day, but that thing has to be something that will directly move you towards your goal. Now, everybody I know who has done this, who has actually done, people normally do between 1 and 3 micro actions a day, but it's actually that small, hard thing, which we tend not to want to do. But they've done it to move it towards their goal. And you know what? After about 30 days, they go, oh my God, I can't believe it. You know what? I know I'm going to hit my goal. It's just amazing how this works. Wow, I'm getting there. And, you know, it's not really magic, because what we've done is we've actually just done the work. You know, we've actually just done the things that move us towards that goal. But the thing that is good about it is we do it in a really nice sort of soft way. One little thing a day is easy to fit in.
I love that. So first I'm going to say, when we say a sales goal, for us probably it's a booking goal.
A booking goal, yes. Sorry, I should say that.
No, no, that's good. But, you know, like the sale comes once you've got the booking. So in terms of looking for a new customer, the goal would be to get a booking. And why I love what you've said is because people often come to me and say, I've got to get 50 new clients this month. What can I do? What campaign can I do? And so we talk about a campaign, but it's big, you know, to get 50 clients from one campaign.
Huge, yeah.
It feels big, and you've got to do all these things. You've got to do all these blogs and all these posts and all these calls to actions and all these offers. Da, da, da. And so it takes a whole month to put the darn thing together. But what I like about what you're saying is actually I just need to get one booking. If you broke it down and just get one booking a day, what would you do? You wouldn't build a massive big campaign. You would just... I'll use your example, put a call to action on your Instagram post today, or you might ring somebody who you know is lurking around and just say, hey, you know, I know you're due for your hair done, let's book you in. You know, you actually could do some really simple things, low hanging fruit that's right there, and stop planning the plan to be this big plan that, and usually one big campaign is not going to bring 50 50 bookings in a month anyway, one a day. I really love that because it just takes all the hardness away.
It does. And, you know, it absolutely works out because you can often think about, if today I've just got to get one new booking, you know, most of us can think of a way to do that. You know, it's sort of like, you can think about it. And it takes, because it's, those big numbers are always hard to do. And you also, we hope so much that it's going to work. And it's still quite stressful because you're sort of hanging everything onto this really big thing.
Yes.
You know, there's a whole lot of emotions that go on. And on one side, you feel quite excited, and it's going to work. And on the other side, you think, oh no, what if it does and what if it doesn't? And then, you know, sometimes it can be really expensive to do big things as well. And,
that's right.
You know, you sort of, whereas the little things, and the little things work, you know, I mean, that's the joy of running. I mean, you can do this process on bigger businesses, but the joy of running a small business is that you can do small things that make a difference.
Yes.
And, you know, and they work, you know, you can, yeah. So good.
Okay. Micro actions. We're all about it. I think that's great. Break it down. Very good. Okay, so we're doing some micro actions now. What's next?
Okay, so the next thing that I really the next point is to work out how you're going to keep it going, because it sounds quite easy right now. Oh yes, I'm going to do one of my little micro actions every day, and Bob's your uncle. But you know, we all know that it's the first few days of doing anything are really exciting. That first 7 days, 5 to 7 days, really exciting. I'm going to do it, and then we wake up one morning and we just think, oh God, I don't feel like doing it today. And, you know, we think, oh, what's one day? I'll just give it a miss. And then the next day, we also don't do it. And then the day after that, we think, oh, what's the point? I've stopped now, so I may as well just keep stopping. So
sounds like
the
gym.
No, but exactly, it is. You know what? It's the same with everything that we do. It doesn't really matter what the goal is. We tend to be a bit the same about all this. It's a bit like if you set yourself a goal of you're going to go for a walk every day, and you will do for the first 5 to 7 days, and then the next morning you wake up and just think, I don't feel like going today, and I have
got that.
It's rain, whatever, and you just don't do it, and then you just go, oh, what the hell? I can't do this anymore. I'm not going to bother. I'm going to give up the whole thing because I missed one day. So
that brain.
It's the brain. And so look, I think the first thing is about acknowledging that we're all like that. You're not special if you keep giving up. We're all like that. And what you need to do is you need to have a sort of some things in place. And I'll give you some ideas of what those are. But you need to have a sort of, what I think of as like a bit of a, like a motivation kit, really, of things that I'm going to do when I don't feel like doing it, things that are going to help me carry on. And there's all sorts of different things like this. And I'll give you a few examples. One that I get people to do is I get people to keep a 100-day gold journal, and this works on a number of levels. I sort of won't go through it all now, but I will just tell you a few tips. One is that if you keep a journal every day and you write your goal at the top of your journal, at the top of your daily page, you're sending that message to your brain to remind it that the goal is important. And so that's a good thing to do. Just get you in the habit of doing that. Remember, we talked about that reticular activation system.
Yeah.
The second thing is when you get into the habit of always writing down what you're going to do and what you did, you sort of want to keep accountable to a journal. And I know that sounds a little bit weird, but actually we can be accountable to all sorts of things. It doesn't have to be a person. We want to carry on. Once you've written 7 days into a journal, especially if you're going to buy a really nice one, you don't want to have any use 7 days of it. You will want to carry on. And there's a bit of, there's a sort of thing called don't break the chain. And you can actually just do this with a calendar of just like having doing a calendar of the 100 days, and you put a cross every time you've done your micro action. And once you get to, you know, sort of, you know, 7, 8, 10 days, you'll look at that lovely line where you've done something every day and you won't want to stop. So there's some little things like that to help you keep going. But then there's other things to think about, you know, thinking about what is it that, you know, why you stop doing things. And sometimes it can be quite simply that, let's say you've been trying to get a booking every day and, you know, it's not worked for a few days. You can feel a bit like, oh, what's the point about it? Mm. Well, one thing that I get people to do is I get people to keep a smile jar or a smile folder, like a sort of everything that's ever gone well in your business or in your life. So you write every time anything goes well, like, you know, someone says something nice about your service, or, you know, someone has thanked you or anything like that, you put it in this in a folder. So I have like a physical one and a digital one, you know, a physical one for little cards people have sent me and a digital one for any emails and all that sort of stuff, or notes to myself. And then when you're feeling like it's not worth it, I can't do this, I'm not good enough, or whatever those things are, which are very demotivating, you just open up your file, your smile file, and read all those things. And I tell you what, they just give you this burst of energy, which will make you want to go and do your micro actions. It's a very simple little thing to do, and it's fun, very fun.
So absolutely, you're engaging in that brain and making
it is
with you.
It is. It's all about that. You know, other things to do are things like to pick something really easy to do. Like I encourage people at the beginning of doing a 100-day goal is to write a list down of all the micro actions that they can think of. And in fact, actually, if you're doing this, you want to have a really massive list. It's another brain quirk. Is that, you know, if you're trying to think, if I say to you now, okay, so how can we, you know, get an extra booking every day and write down some ideas? And you sort of start writing them down, and maybe you've only got 10 ideas. And then you think, oh, gosh, this is really hard. I can't think of any more. But if you make yourself write down 100 ideas, what happens is the brain gets through that pain barrier. It comes up with some really crappy ideas. And then all of a sudden it gets into the subconscious. And your subconscious is so fantastic. It's got these really great ideas in it. And then they come flowing out as well. And so what you find with your list of 100 ideas is you've got the most obvious ones. Then you've got a few that are a bit hopeless. And then you've got some absolute gems. And you're thinking, gosh, why didn't I think about this before? And that's because they're locked in our subconscious brain. And it takes writing a big list to get them out. So I get people to write out a big list at the beginning of the 100-day goal. Then you've got your good ideas. But not only that, is that when you get up, you know, in the morning and you're thinking, oh, what should I do today? You've got your list. You don't have to think, oh, how am I going to do, you know, how am I going to find my new booking? You're not, because that's the bit that's hard. You're thinking, oh, I don't know, my brain's not working very well today. I can't think what to do. I think I'll give it a miss. When you've got a list there and it's just something really easy you can do, you know, it could be something you could just do on the way to work, or, you know, in a quick 15 minutes and you're having a cup of coffee or something. You know, it makes it easy to do it. And what these things are, is all about knowing yourself and knowing what stops you from getting on with things. But, you know, often it's about not knowing what to do, thinking it's going to be a little bit hard, or sort of having a bad day and feeling a bit over it. They're the things that tend to stop us doing the things that we should do. And so it's just good to have a little kit of things that you know that you can put in place, so that if you're feeling, you can go and do this.
Yeah, I like that you say to write it all up at the front. Like when you're feeling motivated and you're putting it into place, that's when you're feeling good, and that's probably when you're can be most creative, right? And make that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And save it for when you're feeling crap.
Absolutely. Save it for then. And then also, you know, you can, it's funny because if you've got a list of different things that you can do, there's normally one on there which you don't mind the thought of doing. There's probably a whole lot of there you just don't feel, for some reason, you know, your planets haven't aligned or something. You just don't feel that you can do this hard one. There's normally something on there. And I like to have some things that are really small and easy and some things that are sort of bigger and more challenging. And so for those type of days you really just don't feel like it, there's, you know, there's something that you can do which is really small and easy.
Yeah.
And another tip there is, if it's something that might take a bit of time, if it's not like a singular thing, if it's sort of like actually this is a tip for people who do a lot of writing, but it works for anything, is you don't feel like starting, just say, look, I'll just do it for 2 minutes, and put a stopwatch on. And literally just say, I'm just going to write for 2 minutes, that's it. And when the alarm goes off after 2 minutes, give yourself permission to stop. You can stop if you want. But 90% of the time, you won't want to stop, because the hardest thing is starting. Once you've started, you're fine. You're fine.
You're so
just
right.
Keep going.
You're so right. I do that a lot when a project feels big, and I it's hard to get started. It feels like a big mountain. And I use the Google search it. It's called Tomato Timer. It comes from the Pomodoro technique concept.
Yeah.
And I just give myself 25 minutes. I put the timer on a ding-dong bells, and I'm always, by 25 minutes, I'm totally in it. But I just think, oh, I'll just give myself 25 minutes and then I'll stop and do those other fun stuff.
Yeah. And it always works. It's the same if you're if you don't like exercise, for instance, you know, you can say, I'll just walk to the corner of the road, whatever. But once you've got there, you think, oh, I may as well, now I'm here, I may as well do a bit more.
Yeah,
you know? And it's all that fantastic brain trickery. But we can get ourselves to do things. And what I find with all this stuff is that, you know, action breeds action, activity breeds activity. The more that you do, the more energy you'll find for wanting to do more. And so it sort of builds up, you know, even if you're thinking, you know, 100 days of little things, you just feel a bit more energy all over the place. You know, everybody feels a bit more energetic. You feel a bit more with it. And it just creates its own energy. And I think you just have to know that that'll happen.
Yes. Yeah. And just start.
And just start.
And just
start.
It.
Yes. Just do it. Just do it. And I think the nice thing is to know that everybody, well, I think there probably are a few exceptions, but 99.9% of people are the same. We all feel like this. And I think that's the important thing to know, is that it's not that everybody else is jumping out of bed and getting on with their goals and it's all absolutely fantastic. You know, it's hard, but everyone can do it. You know, it's not once you've sort of got some of these techniques, you realize that actually you can just trick yourself into getting stuff done.
Yeah. I love that. Just trick yourself.
Yeah.
that's exactly where we're at. All right. Look, I think that's fantastic. I loved the good, great, awesome, and the breaking things down and writing out a list to go back to when you're not feeling motivated. I think that's all gold, golden stuff.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. So, look, as we work towards wrap up, you are the quotes queen, which is very appropriate for this type of stuff. So, will you share with us a quote or even a mantra that keeps you going as a business owner that that we will love?
Okay. Well, look, I mean, obviously, the one that I say all the time is, you know, a journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step. And obviously that, you know, ties very nicely into the 100-day goal. But I think it is, you know, I found it very, very true. There's things that I have wanted to do in my life, which I've been a bit overwhelmed thinking, how am I going to do that? You know, like about, I think 8 years ago, I wrote a book, got it published by, you know, publisher and everything. It was sort of a big deal. And I can remember thinking, wow, how am I going to write this book? Like, how, you know, the book seemed like so massive. How am I just going to write a book, you know? And I just started just writing out little bits and little bits and little bits and little bits. And that quote really helped me. You know, that's all it is. You know, journey of 1,000 miles starts a single step. And then the other one is that, you know, just take a step. You don't need to see the whole staircase.
Mm.
And I think what I found out is I am probably someone who just likes to know, okay, if I'm going to go and climb Everest, here's all the things I need to do to get there. And if I do A, B, C, D, E, F, it'll all work out fine. But what I've realized, you know, especially in business, but in anything really, is that, you know what, you can see a little bit ahead of you, but there's a whole lot of stuff which you can't see, and it doesn't matter, because the path, the right path will present itself.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, when you're driving at night and you've got your headlights on, and you can see far enough ahead, but you don't know, you know, what the whole place looks like, but that's fine. You've got it. It's hard to get comfortable with it. But once you're comfortable with it, you go, yeah, no, that's okay. I trust myself because I'm going at this speed. I can see what's happening and I can trust that I'll be able to carry on going.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really important thing, because if you're like me and sort of felt that you needed to be able to see absolutely everything and know how it was all going to map out, it's quite a change to relax yourself and think, no, that's okay. I can just accept that I only know what's happening in the next few days or whatever, or the next small part.
Do you know, one of my clients asked me this question just the other day, actually, and because she's doing a big change in her business, relocating. And I said to her, you know, all you really need to do is just trust that when you get to each difficult situation or whatever happens around the corner that you can't see, that you know that you can trust yourself, that you can troubleshoot or you can make the right decisions at that time. You don't need to know what it is now. You just know that actually you can kind of face anything if you're, you know, and you don't need to worry about it now. You can worry about it then because you don't know what it is yet.
Exactly. And, you know, isn't it the case that the things that sort of derail you are the things you would never have thought about?
Yep.
Like, all the things that have ever you know, been a bit of a problem for me. Other things that I wouldn't have guessed that they'd be the things.
Yeah.
So actually, you sort of have to just be able to go with that. So
actually, I say to my son often, because he's a worrier, don't worry about things that haven't happened yet. Because he worries about what if and what but what if. And I said, don't worry about things that haven't happened yet. Just worry about it if it happens.
Do you know, I used to be terrible like that. I was such a worrier. When I was little, I used to count my worries before I went to sleep at night. Aww. I also had to count my worries. I had all these worries. I used to like to count my worries.
Did your mum help you count them?
Well, she wasn't very maternal, my mother. She probably quite liked how it was. But actually, I remember a teacher at school, because I must have told my teacher, and she just looked at me in that way of, she's my French teacher. I didn't really like my French teacher very much, but she had this funny look on her face, and I said, like, it was count my worries, and made me think that maybe not everybody counted their worries. But you know what I have, and I think maybe it also comes with age and stuff, but I've taught myself just to relax on the worries. It's fine. It's all good.
I got a great book for my worrying son. And in there it talks about, it's written at sort of kids level, but it talks about putting your worries in, creating a little box, whether you draw it or build it, a little box to put your worries in at night, because he lies awake in bed at night and worries about all the things. And so when he's having a worry time, we put the worries, you know, in the box and put the lid on them and say, they'll be safe there until the morning. You can just let them go and someone else has got them. Yeah.
That's so lovely. Yeah. I love it.
And usually, you know, who wants to pick up a worry in the morning? You just leave it alone.
You know what? That is so perfect. That's really fantastic. I love that.
So it's like counting your worries, but just kind of parking them over somewhere else.
Yes, rather than keeping them very focused in your mind in case you forget a worry.
Yeah, that's right, because that's part of it. Oh, don't want to let it go.
Yes, I know. What if I forget it? And then, I know.
Anyway, all right, so do you have, I really want to encourage everyone to dive into the 100-day goal, and so I think that's definitely an activity, but do you have any other books or webinars or podcasts that have been really great for you and your business that you can recommend?
Yeah, look, that's such a good question. And I am a prolific podcast listener, reader, everything. I love stuff. So I was trying to think of something that I was thinking, oh, what's actually made a really big impact to me? And actually one book which I come back to time and time again, and I absolutely loved, and it just opened my mind to a whole lot of different things, is a book by a guy called Derek Sivers, and it's called Anything You Want. And it is a little book. And he started, the book is probably also a little old now, but he started a business way back before iTunes called CD Baby, and it was a mail order CD business. But he had a really interesting take on his business, and he was sort of like an accidental business owner who was a musician, and he wants to be a musician, and he had trouble getting his music out there. And so he put his music on this CD, and other people asked him to do the same thing. And people kept asking him to do stuff, and he was like, oh, no, I'm a musician. I don't have a business, you know? And he turned it into this really massive business that Apple tried to buy. Wow. And then he decided he didn't want to do that after all. He didn't want to sell to that. Anyway, he has a very, very, very interesting look at business and at life. And his thoughts are a little bit different to all the ordinary stuff that you read, but they really resonated with me. And I must have read his book, so many times. It's a little book, you know, you can read it 100 times easily.
Cool.
I've always loved it. And so I was thinking, well, here's something that I have always really, really loved. And I think that you guys out there might like it too.
Yeah, I think I'm going to put that on my to find. Hopefully it's on Audible or something and I can just listen.
Great. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, look, thank you so much for sharing your pearls of wisdom to all our salon owners around the world. I really, really appreciate it. It's just gold, and I know that kind of stuff is going to make a huge difference, especially this time of year, because, you know, we're jam-packed for Christmas, but we're already thinking into 2018, so that's going to be really great. Look, where can people find you, and what's your www, and where can they find the 100-day goal?
Okay, so thebusinessbakery.com.au is the main website. If you do /100-day goal, or you just Google 100-day goal with a business bakery, that is where you will get some information about the 100-day goal. And it's where you can, if you pop your email address in, we will send you a completely free but very large 100-day goal guide, like the whole guide to doing it. And we've got principles. We've got all the different sort of lists that I suggest that you do. You've got everything that you need is in this guide, and this guide you can get free. So thebusinessbakery.com.au/100-day-goal, and you can get everything that you want there. And then love to see you over at we've got a Facebook page, The Business Bakery, and we also have a Facebook group for the 100-day goal with The Business Bakery if you want to join that. And that's where we have, that's what really our community of people doing the goal. Like, I'm very goal focused in that, so it's not a big place to find new customers, but it's a great, it's all about the goal. And what I love about that group is that I think it's one of the most supportive groups on the internet. Everybody just wants everyone else to reach their goal, so it just helps everybody out. And it's so fun knowing that everybody else is trying to do a goal at the same time. You know, it really, in terms of things like motivation, it makes you feel a little bit like, oh, I better carry on going then, because everybody else is doing it, I should be doing it too. And then Instagram, 100-day goal, or the Business Bakery. So I am a little bit muddled, as you can tell, with my social media between 100-day goal and the Business Bakery, but
I need both.
And you can find me on all those places, and Twitter, Julia Bickerstaff, but I'm not big on Twitter.
All right, well, look, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time, and we'll see you in the 100-day goal group.
Fantastic, thanks so much for having me. I've really enjoyed our conversation.
Awesome, thank you so much. So there you have it. Simple yet great wisdom from Julia towards reaching your goals. I'm actually thinking of inviting Julia to start a 100-day goal challenge in the Salon Owners Collective Hub, and we can all start it together. So if you're keen to join me, jump over to www.salonownerscollective and join the hub with me and other salon owners just like you. Hope to see you there.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Salon Owners Collective Podcast. Tune in each week as we reveal the latest insight and advice on what it takes to make your salon a success today. Subscribe to the Salon Owners Collective podcast on iTunes, or visit us online at salonownerscollective.com for answers to your common questions, to follow Larissa, and much more. Thanks for listening. See you next time.